Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey everyone and welcome to this week's episode. Today I am joined by Simon Alexander Ong, who helps ignite people's imagination of what is truly possible so that they can live meaningful, purposeful and extraordinary lives. In addition to working with clients as a coach and business strategist, Simon has been featured in a number of well-known publications, Forbes, Huffington Post, Virgin, the Financial Times, just to name a few, and is regularly invited to speak on the topics of leadership, entrepreneurship, and success in life. Hello, my friend. Welcome.
Thank you, Ebony.
It's nice to see you again. It's nice to get to have this conversation.
Likewise. You know, it's the beginning of a new year, and it's good to touch base, and I'm sure we'll uncover a lot of interesting things for our conversation today.
Yeah, I've been starting all these conversations in a kind of similar way and asking people, like, what does being an adult or what does adulting mean to you?
For me, I mean, adulting is, or it can be, such a broad term. For me, it's about taking responsibility for our life in a way, you know, kind of being proactive and taking charge for where we want our life to develop towards. You know, now we are getting I guess a bit more freedom in the sense that we're not in our parents' nest anymore. You know, we're kind of out in the world creating our own life. And it's really about taking responsibility for that.
I love that. And I think often we touch on responsibility. And some of the conversations that I've had before, you also talked about choices and freedom. And for a lot of people, it can feel really fun. We're in such a hurry, right, to be an adult, to leave our parents' rule or their nest or whatever it is. And then for other people, it's such a huge, like, responsibility, and it feels quite a pressure to be an adult.
And I can understand where that pressure comes from, because when you grow up, and I reflect on my sort of upbringing as well, is that we're always kind of taught about this linear path in the sense that we get good grades, we get to a good school, we get a good job, and it's typically one of maybe five or six traditional jobs. You get out, you get married, you have kids, you have a family, and so the cycle continues again. And what happens is that can create unnecessary pressure on our minds, on sort of our mental health, if you will, in the sense we are benchmarking ourselves to those high standards of this is what it's meant to happen to be an adult, this is what we're meant to do. But I think from my own experience, often it's really about uncovering what is our path. There is no one path, because there is so many different ways to arrive at happiness, fulfillment, joy, if you will. And part of that journey is really understanding what is the path for us, not what the path for everyone is, but our sort of path, and following that curiosity.
I love that. And for me, the key point that you made at the end there is like following that curiosity, right? Because in at least my experience has been that the more curious and the more playful I can be around following that, like, what is that path? What is it that interests me specifically? And going from that place, and also, you know, when I work with my clients, when I talk with other people, when we're trying to please other people, or when we're trying to do what we think other people want us to do without necessarily even asking them, we end up in this kind of mess where it's really not as simple as it could be, right?
No, totally. And I think what happens is, in a way, when we are valuing other people's opinions more than our own about how we see ourselves, then in a way we're giving up our freedom. And actually, when we begin to value our own opinions, our own views, have courage, have confidence that actually we can bounce back, we can explore, and we can find our own way, I think what happens is that gives us such a higher degree of freedom, if you will, to take control and just to see what we learn in the process, because otherwise we're not really going to learn anything new. You know, we're always working on someone else's experience of the world. And what we come to realize over time is there's no one reality. There's only customized realities, in the sense that the way you might interpret an event will be different to the way I might interpret it. And it might be different again to how some of our listeners might interpret an event. Mm-hmm. And what that means is it shows how much our thinking impacts our reality, how much what we bring into focus, we bring into our reality, and how that forms our experience of the world.
I love how you explain that. Such an eloquent way of explaining it. You know, I think there's lots of quotes out there in the world that say, you know, the Buddha one, for example, is kind of coming into my mind of the thought manifests as the deed, you know, the deed and the deed becomes character and you know, all of that. Mm. And yet, if we really think about it, it's what we're focusing on, right? Where our thoughts are going, which is what we bring through into our reality.
Mm, no, totally. And I, it's funny because it reminds me of a conversation I had with a friend when I tried to articulate this thoughts and this being sort of connection, you know, what we bring into our thinking, we bring into our reality. Mm. And the story I shared with him is that it's quite anecdotal, but you can bring to mind these Tibetan monks when they're at the top of the mountains. Yeah, they're just wearing an orange robe. They're meditating. They're praying. And they're wearing fairly minimal clothing. But yet, they don't suffer from the cold. Mm. And what happens is they have the ability to control their temperature, this sort of mind-body connection. And someone said, oh, that's probably just superstition. It's some spiritual woo-hoo sort of stuff. But I said, just imagine that you arrived at the airport for your flight. And an hour before you're about to fly or you're rushing to get to the airport, you realize you've forgotten your passport. You didn't pack that one thing you needed to pack to go on holiday. And suddenly everything's crumbling in your mind mentally because you just don't have everything with you. And you start losing it in your mind. What happens is your body temperature starts to increase. You start to sweat. You start to stress. But what's happened is the external temperature hasn't changed.
Mm.
And it shows that connection between the mind and body is that now that when the mind gets busy, it gets overwhelmed, it gets stressed, suddenly the body's reacting and you feel it. And that's how close that connection is.
Oh, that's so such a perfect way. It's so simple to describe it in that way because so many people can relate to that.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Mm. So have you always felt this mind-body connection for yourself? Is it something that, you know, you turned 18, you became an adult, you understood all of this stuff instantly, or has it been a journey for you?
I would be lying if I said it was an overnight thing. It's always about the journey, I think. Yeah. And it's those sort of small steps. You know, it's kind of like when you go to the gym, Ebony, you know, when you go to the gym for the first day, you look in the mirror and you're like, I don't see any results. I don't see any changes in my body. And you go a week later and it's the same thing. You look in the mirror and you don't see any changes.
Mm.
But what happens is over the months, over the years, suddenly you look in the mirror again and you're like, wow, look at the transformation.
Mm.
These things happen so incrementally. And I think what's also helped is personal experience.
Yeah.
So what I mean by that is, we're always learning from experiences, whether those are failures, whether those are successes, whether those are expectations that didn't meet what we were thinking initially. And from that, we're always becoming more self-aware. And I think it's important because we can only ever change something when we are self-aware about something.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if we're not aware of something, we can't change anything. We're not aware of what needs to change.
Yeah, it's such a powerful first step. Go on.
That's been a big part of the journey.
Yeah, you know, I feel like awareness nowadays, like people kind of skip over it. Like it's the first step is awareness. Yes, you must have some more awareness. And it's like, it's actually a really big deal because it's not something you just do once, right? It is continual. And it's also a practice. Like actually my experience has been making it a practice of observing, you know, spending some time every day with myself or with the thing that I am focused on or on shifting or changing, whether that is my relationship to myself, or whether it's my relationship to my family, my partner, my friends, my money, you know, whatever it is, just being in awareness of it, just like you said. So because without having that awareness, you can't shift it at all.
No, totally. And it kind of reminds me of this saying, Ebony, that often we need to slow down in order to speed up.
Mm.
You know, we're living, whether you're living in a modern city now, it's so busy. You know, everyone is kind of moving from A to B, B to C, C to D, with no chance really to stop and reflect on one, I guess, whether we are where we want to be, two, what can we improve, and three, are we evaluating whether we are working towards some of the goals we want? You know, it's quite timely we're having this conversation now, because statistics seem to show that within the next 2 weeks, nearly everyone who made a New Year's resolution would have broken them. And it's probably because life just takes hold again. You know, we just put ourselves back into this victim mentality that we become reactive to life rather than proactive and taking control of where we want our year to go towards, living with intention, I guess, living with intention and purpose.
Yeah, and I think it's really an interesting thing when you talked about the gym and you talked about, you know, that non-linear path and being open to almost, it's like continually coming back and evaluating rather than it being once a year or once a quarter or, you know, when something goes wrong. And often people wait until everything is not working before they make big changes, right?
Yeah, no, totally. This is this difference between should and must. You know, it kind of reminds me of this scenario in which many people in their minds, especially at this time, they think, I should change job. I should find a job that's more fulfilling. Right. I should explore a path that can bring me more joy and happiness. But yet most people don't. Or I should wake up earlier, or I should go gym more, I should exercise more, I should spend more time with my loved ones. Mm-hmm. And only when something happens that's shocking to the system does that should become a must. Mm. I.e., you know, you lose your job, you get made redundant, you get fired, or you have the potential of losing the relationship. And then suddenly that becomes a must. I must get a job now. I must focus on this relationship. And so often we wait until that point before we end up taking action.
Do you think there's a way of making something, like for you and I mean, I'm talking for you and that's not entirely fair, but for you and I who have made this our business, right? Have made personal development a way of life. Becoming aware every day and checking in with where we're at and choosing to work on things before they become a must and making them a priority at some point between, you know, not acting on things because they're a should, almost freeing up space by not having shoulds in our lives, right?
Yeah.
Enables us to then pick and choose and feel much more empowered about what it is that we're prioritizing before it becomes a must. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, there's a couple of things that come to mind. I think one is the words we use to speak to ourselves impact the actions that we actually do. And often I say the person we speak to most in our lifetime is ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's why language is so important. So often when we speak to ourselves, it's I should, maybe, I could. And it's not definitive enough. It's always more of an interest. I'm interested in changing jobs, or I'm interested in raising the quality of a relationship or working on my finances. But if it's only something that you're interested in, I guarantee you're not going to be fully invested in it. You're not going to take it serious enough. Mm-hmm. But when you change the language to things like I will, I'm committed, I must, that's a language of commitment and it's definitive. Mm-hmm. You've told your mind this is important. And what happens is now the subconscious starts thinking, great, how are we going to do this? How are we going to work out and make our finances more solid? How am I going to improve my relationship? How am I going to get fitter? How am I going to bring more joy into my business or my career? And so it's important, I think, that language would speak to itself. But second, it goes back to what we were speaking about just now, Ebony, about slowing down, about reflecting. You know, there's a beautiful statement that says, when you quieten the mind, the soul will speak. And I think it's that power of reflection, when we are able to be more present, we're not only able to listen more to our innate wisdom, but we're also able to connect better with people. You know, we're so distracted nowadays with whether it's social media, whether it's emails, whether it's demands on our attention, whether it's everyone telling us something is urgent when in reality probably half of it isn't. And so it's our ability to be present and to actually understand how we can be of value and also understand what people are thinking, to empathize with people. And that's what ends up, I think, bringing us closer. In business, we talk about B2B, B2C, but fundamentally, everything is H to H, is human to human. When we can give people the gift of listening, You know, how many people have had the experience of feeling truly, deeply listened to? When we can give people that gift, it's powerful. It's powerful, not only for our connection, but also for our understanding of people. And it makes us not a better person, but also better leaders. And also aware of what we can do to continue to improve. So I think those two things come to mind on the back of what we're discussing there, Ebony.
Yeah. I really like that idea of, you know, slowing down and creating space in our relationships. My clients will have heard me use this analogy a lot. I often talk about Matrix time. So, you know, that bit in the Matrix where Neo is, and I age myself terribly because a lot of my clients are now like, what? You what? The Matrix? Whatever. But there's a bit in the Matrix where there are lots of bullets flying at Neo, and he's slowed down the space between him and everything that's flying at him so that he can catch a bullet midair and drop it. And I often say, you know, some of the work that we're doing here, it isn't about creating a different system or a strategy or honing your message or getting a different offer out there. Often it's about creating space in your reality so that you can actually see and feel what's going on and allow that inner innate wisdom, your intuition, if you like, to guide you as to what is urgent and what is important and what you can actually set a boundary around or declutter or say no to continue to have the kind of space that makes your life easy and comfortable and enjoyable.
Totally. It's all about understanding us, I think, that core of who we are. And I think a lot of that comes from a place of identity. You know, a lot of people, when they begin the year or try something new, it comes from a place of doing. I'm going to go gym 3 times a week. I'm going to do this next week. I'm going to do that. And a lot of doing things requires willpower. You almost feel like you have to push yourself to do something.
Yeah.
But if we can transition to a place of identity, and I think identity is very fluid. You know, the identity of who we are today, I'm sure, is very different to where we were 5 or even 10 years ago. Identities can be fluid. But when we know who we are and what we want to stand for, then our choices become made. Mm. You know, if you see yourself as, I don't know, a world-class athlete, then you're not going to choose McDonald's over healthy cooking that will allow you to be at your prime and your nutrition helps you to be at the peak condition. So your choice is already made. And so it's understanding what you want to stand for and the identity of who you want to be first, and kind of everything then follows from that. And I don't know if you've seen the film Inception, Ebony.
Yes, I have.
So this film by Christopher Nolan with Leonardo DiCaprio as the main character, in which he tries to do inception on this guy to plant an idea, if you will, in his subconscious so he feels that he owns it. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting asked a question at a conference I was speaking at by someone in the audience that said, Simon, can you explain how your coaching works? Because it's quite abstract.
Yeah,
I don't really get the concept of coaching. And first of all, I said, it's kind of like close-up magic in the sense that if I describe to you a magic trick, you can't really connect with it.
Yeah.
However, if a magician came into the room right now and did a magic trick in front of you live, your mind would be blown. You'll be, wow, how did you do that trick?
Mm-hmm.
And what's happened, it creates an experience in that moment. And coaching is like that. It's an experience. Difficult to often describe, but it's something that has to be experienced in that moment. And then it led me on to Inception, because I thought this was a great way to illustrate how it works. So I said, often someone might come to me and said, this is my problem, this is my issue, and that's kind of their reality. But our job as coaches is really then to unravel that, unpackage that, and to go deeper. So kind of instead of dream within a dream, we go layer beneath a layer beneath a layer, all the way down to limbo, so we can kind of see who they really are beneath all that noise, beneath all that sort of conditioning, if you will, that's been there for years, maybe decades. And when we understand what the world is at its core, we can begin to bring them back up the layers, but by planting new seeds, igniting different imaginations or possibilities. So when they get back out, reality is not changed, but the way they see their reality has completely transformed.
Such a good analogy. I think it's, you know, I find using words to describe something that we feel is really difficult. You know, it's a shift, and it's why very often you have to experience it to truly understand, and to experience it and truly understand how powerful you can be and how powerful a coaching relationship can be. You have to take a risk. You have to say yes when you are stepping into something that you haven't yet experienced. And I think if we bring that back to adulting and like this idea of, you know, for me, being a kick-ass and kind adult in this modern world is really about showing up and coming from kindness, coming from compassion for all things, including ourselves, right?
No, totally. It's what you said about risk, Ebony, and about sort of being brave to sort of take things forward. It reminds me of, I went to this conference where Richard Branson spoke. He was launching his latest book, Finding My Virginity. Mm-hmm. And one of the most important tips he gave to new people starting out in business or, you know, trying something they've never done before, yeah, is he said to begin before you're ready. Before you're ready. And the reason he said that is because there is no such thing as ready. There is no such thing as the perfect moment or when everything is just the way you want it. He said, when I launched Virgin Atlantic, I didn't know everything there was to know about planes. I'm by no means an aeroplane expert, but I saw an opportunity. I saw potential. And I thought the rest I'm going to learn along the way. And it's that ability to trust that you have enough to get started and whatever else you will need will come to you as you build that momentum. And on risk, one of the things I felt, and especially looking at my own journey, I'm sure you can relate to this as well, Ebony, is that it's very difficult for any one of us to fulfill our full potential in life if we're not willing to take any risk at all. If we're not willing to take any risk, it's impossible to fulfill our potential.
Well, we won't learn and we won't grow, you know, and if we're not moving forwards, then we have to be dying. It's the only thing that works for living organisms, right? We have two choices. We are either alive and growing, or we are dying. And in order to grow, and there's always going to be a risk, something has to, in a way, dissolve into something new and bigger, right?
Totally, totally. Reminds me of the saying that I can't remember off my head who said this, but there's this quote that comes up in my mind now that says, most people merely exist, few people truly live. And I think we've got the greatest gift there is. You know, there was this talk by Mel Robbins on TED. I'm not sure if you've watched this Mel Robbins talk, but she said something to me which made me deeply grateful. She said that the probability, and it is very difficult to get an exact probability, but roughly the probability of us being born is estimated to be 1 in over 400 trillion. 1 in over 400 trillion. Now, I can kind of understand that if you think about our grandparents' parents and the fact that two generations had to survive two world wars, the chances of your parents getting together the time they did, deciding to have a child the time they did, and you being one of, I don't know how many other sperm that survived to get to the egg in order to start a child. So when you add all of that together, it makes you really grateful that you are born and you are able to experience this gift of life. And you realize, you know, while most people in the world are trying to still play and win the lottery, we've kind of already won the greatest lottery there is going, which is the lottery of life. And the question I think for us is, what are we going to do with this winning ticket? What are we going to do with this winning ticket? Are we going to wait it, or are we going to spend it for all it's worth?
Oh, that's such a perfect place to end. If people want to come find out more about you and the work that you do, where you're speaking, or how to get involved with your personal or business coaching, where are the best places? I'll put all the links in the show notes, but where are the best places for them to come and find you?
Fantastic. So best first place is my website. So it's simonalexanderong.com. Alternatively, if people listening are all over social media, you can easily find me on Instagram and Twitter. The handle is @SimonAlexanderO. Or check out videos on my YouTube as well as LinkedIn there. So feel free to connect. And if you've got any other questions following this podcast with Ebony, then feel free to get in touch.
Fantastic. I will make sure that all those links are easily clickable for people to come find you and say hello. Will you do an I'm an adult, but with me? Just a little sentence completion.
Yeah, sure. So,
I haven't even thought about one yet today at all. What am I going to go with? I am an adult, but I really don't have it all figured out. Some days I really am merely existing.
Ebony, you might just want to repeat that. I think I lost you for a second on the connection.
Oh, okay. I was just saying my I'm an adult, but today is I'm an adult, but I don't always have it all figured out. And some days I really am just merely existing.
My one is, I would say I am an adult, but it's not always what it seems on the outside. And I guess what people think when they always look at social media, always looks like this perfect life, is that behind the scenes, I'm also learning a hell of a lot. I also don't know a lot. And I'm also, I do get nervous as well sometimes. And sometimes it's overcoming my own challenges in order to help other people, that we all, no matter what our background is, no matter what success people might feel like they're having, everyone is going through their own battles and challenges.
Yeah. Thank you. I love that. And it's so true, I think, for so many of us to engage in that way. Thank you for coming and having this conversation with me and for hanging out. And it's been just a real pleasure chatting with you.
Likewise, Ebony. Look forward to hearing this when it goes live.
Thank you.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.